Hello, friends. This is a really tall table. I was singing my heart out with praise and worship, and all I could say is that you guys have been feasting, and I have been living in the land, in a desert land, at home, praying and hoping that Gibbo would throw me a bone and post one of the services. But I did get to see little bits and pieces from friends that had posted some of the worship. But what a treat and delight it's been to listen and to praise and sing along. If you allow me, I want to ask your permission. Similar to when a lawyer or a barrister is standing before the judge and asks permission to treat the witness in a hostile way, I want to ask if I have your permission to speak bluntly and openly. Before we get into it, I want to know if I have permission to speak, or if you just want me to speak. Like, can I speak, or are we going to beat around the bushes today? I might need like a little water, so if you have that, that'd be great. So I was supposed to be here the whole time, but I sustained an injury, and I have, you know, something on my toe. So, you know, let's not focus on that now that I've drawn your attention to that ugly bandage. And instead, let's focus on the Word of God. Will you join me in a little prayer? Heavenly Father, the moment has finally come. And Lord, you've revealed some truths to me as I've spent time in your Word. And I know that my friends have been feasting in worship and in the Word, and you've brought powerful preachers and speakers to this tent. Lord, we are at the culmination. We have got one, this is our last night, I think, and we just have one more sermon left. And I'm praying, Lord, that tonight your Holy Spirit continue to rain down, Lord, continue. Please speak to our hearts and quiet all distractions in our mind and allow us to hear from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So like you, I've been just mesmerized by all the different images of the people of Ukraine and the war that's been happening. I don't know about you, but it's been kind of sad to see. There are moments where I don't want to watch anymore and I turn it off. But then there are stories that arise that catch my attention, and I think I can't dig my head in the sand. I need to know what is happening in the world. And so I tune in and I continue to watch. And one of the things that astonished me that I saw was that there was fathers with their young sons that weren't sent off with the women and children who were being trained on how to handle heavy machinery. And the father said, "I want to be ready when the Russians come." And I am not here to speak about politics, but I am here to speak about the war that is very much going on at the moment. And it's a war where what is at stake is not land, and it's not property, and it's not money, but what is at stake is your heart and your mind. In fact, it is so valuable that right now there are hosts of angels that are battling for your heart, for your thoughts, and for what happens in your life. We get so caught up in everyday living that we forget that the Apostle Paul is speaking to us and calling our attention to the times that we're living in. So if you have your Bible, or if the passage is going to be put up on the screen, if you have your smart device, join me in the book of Ephesians. Paul says in chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And I love that Paul begins this passage by saying, finally, basically, we've done all the teaching. We've told you how things should be, how they could be, not only in your spiritual life, what God has done, what he continues to do, how you can sit in knowledge of knowing that you are loved, that you are redeemed, then gives you a teaching about how to live life, which I wish I could hear my friend Bethany in Chapo's message. I'm sure it was amazing. And then he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And I want to put a pause right there. The devil's schemes. You know, if we're very real and honest with ourselves, not with the person sitting next to you, not with your pastor that might be in the congregation, but with yourself, I want to ask you, when was the last time that you looked at your life and you thought that you recognized the devil scheming against you? Some of you say yes. But can I venture to say that the vast majority don't even think of life in that realm? Can't even imagine. Ellen White says that if the curtains would be rolled back, you and I would live so differently because we would see what Satan is actively doing right now against us. That he is, she says, the instigator of all evil. And we are so caught up in Instagram, in TikTok, in our own little worlds, in our social media, in our Netflix and chill, in our own, told you I was going to get real. Hey, yeah, a little too close. I'm going to take off my shoes. We are so caught up in our own things, in our own wanting to find, to be fulfilled, to have what everyone else is having right now, that we fail to see the schemes of the devil around us. I want to keep reading what Paul has to say in this passage, okay? He says, put the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood. And that's, I'll take it. And flesh and blood is what we think we are struggling with. Thank you. If you have a... thank you. How many of you in here are married? Okay, a few of you. All right. My husband said, do not speak about me tonight. He's that beautiful chocolate man sitting right there. I mean, because how can I not? He's beautiful and he's chocolatey. Flesh and blood. So we think that we struggle against flesh and blood. If you are married, and I love the introduction to that special item, sometimes we're not connected, you know? Word, okay? Word. So if you think that your struggle is with your significant other, like, and that's it, if that's your only struggle, like, brother, sister, you're going to make it through. But Paul is saying you're not struggling against flesh and blood. It's not people you're struggling with. Because can I say that behind every person, this battle that I told you about, it's a battle of agency. It's who will reign in your heart. Will it be Satan and his evil angels, or will it be God who loves you and cares for you and has done everything for you? So when you are struggling against something, yeah, the person is just the facade, but the struggle behind that is the evil that reigns in this world. So a lot of times when problems are coming up and happening at work, you're saying, man, it's just really tough. I just can't seem to get ahead. Things are really bad. You know, my boss has it out for me. He's always picking on me. He knows that I go to church. He's always sending me these crazy memes, blah, blah, blah. You're struggling against what's behind that boss. It's not the flesh. And so in this quote that Ellen White says, that if we saw who we were struggling with, we would choose to live and work differently. And I just want to say that so many of us are walking in life like zombies, not fully alive, not fully dead, and not fully awake, and unaware of the evil that surrounds us and what's at stake. And the closer we get to the day that Christ returns, the more the ante is upped. The more that we get closer to Christ's second coming, the devil knows that he has how much time? Very little time. Says that he's out like a roaring lion, looking to see who he's going to devour. So if you ask yourself, why do I keep trying and struggling with my addictions? Why every time that I say I am not going to turn on porn, why do I continue to turn it on? Why every time that I clear out my history, something pops up? Why when I go into my car at work, when I think no one is looking and I get my little fix and I vape and I say, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to buy it, I just can't help myself. And I'm vaping and I'm just getting a little hit. Or when I say I'm not going to answer that text message so late at night and go hook up with that person because I feel so awful afterwards. And I feel shame and disgust, but yet I still keep struggling with the things that I don't want to struggle with. Fill in the blank, my friend. Fill it in. We are wrestling not against, what is it? Flesh and blood. Let's keep reading. So if you don't have your device, take it out and read with me. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. My friends, if you ask yourself, why do I keep making the same mistakes? Why do I keep going back to what I know depletes me? Why do I go back? Why do I keep saying yes? Why do I keep struggling with the same thing year after year? Every time there's appeal, I stand up. And yet when I go back home, I'm right back. We are struggling and fighting and are in war with rulers and principalities, okay? Satan's angels, there's ranks. They're organized. There's a pecking order. There are demons that have names, that have specialities. And if you are struggling with something and you say, I just can't shake it, I want you to know that this is what you're struggling with. And it's not that your God doesn't have the power to deliver you. It's not that your decision to stand up at big camp or in your devotional life when you give your heart to God every morning and you say, today's going to be different, Lord. It's not that that's not genuine. It's just that you are struggling against the highest generals of the demonic armies. And you're not even aware. And you're not even suiting up. You haven't even grabbed your weapon. You've left your weapon somewhere underneath the bed in the back drawer of a dusty cabinet because you've said, it's not relevant anymore. You've said, truth, what is truth? Pluralism. Truth is whatever I want it to be today. You've said, they're all hypocrites, so what does it matter? Friends, we are fighting a war, and many of us here don't even know that we're in the front lines, don't even have weapons, don't even have the armor of God. And so Paul says, I've taught you all these wonderful things, the ideal of what could be and can be and should be, but there's more. There is war, and we're wrestling against this, and you need to be ready. And this is what I want you to know about this armor that Paul is talking about, is that this very armor is described in one way or another as God's own armor in Isaiah 59. So if you look, you'll see that God has the helmet of salvation, that God is wearing this armor. And he says, you're going to need this to fight a battle, and now I'm going to give it to you. So we are given the helmet of salvation. So we are given this armor that we're supposed to wear to fight a battle that God has already won. And that's the good news, that we have something to protect us against that, that we're not alone in this battle, and that God is giving us exactly what we need to overcome the war that we're in. So let's keep reading. So we continue in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. So yes, it is a battle. And yes, you're in it. For those of you that have parents, whoa, the responsibility is really big. Because you not only have to prepare yourself, but you have to prepare your children. I want you to know that similar to what Paul is saying here is a passage in the book of Matthew. You'll remember this part where there's the 10 virgins, right? And five of them decide to prepare. And what do? They purchase oil, right? And another five of them don't. Because, I don't know, they think that the groomsman isn't coming, or they think like, oh, this will be enough. So they don't prepare for what's coming. I want you to know that your pastor cannot prepare for you. Your worship leaders that stand in front of you and worship and lead us and take us to this place, they cannot prepare that for you. Your wife cannot prepare that for you. Your mom and your dad, in spite of how spiritual they are, they can't do it for you. But you yourself need to prepare for the battle that we're in. And it does you no good to pretend, close your eyes and be la, 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 la. Because can I say that a lot of times as a pastor, when people come and, you know, and part of our job is to do pastoral counseling, is to listen, and we love helping and being. But when we get down to the nitty-gritty and we ask questions like, how's your spiritual journey? How's your walk with the Lord? Like, are you spending any time in the Word? Like, are you spending time praying? Have you prayed about this? Have you done this? Usually not. So then it's like, we don't have the armor. Or we may have bits and pieces of the armor. And this is what there's so much I want to share with you, but what I need you to know is this, that every temptation that comes to you is tailor-made for you. And guess what? Satan, our enemy, and his angels, they're specialized at weapons that can target the area of your life that's missing that piece of armor. So if you don't have the belt of truth, like if you're not speaking truth and not living life with integrity, how do you think that your temptations are gonna come to you? What kind of temptations will you be getting? Yeah. So it's so important that we recognize that our temptations are tailor-made and that our armor matters. How we get up every day, what we choose to do, and how we put that on. So let's look at the armor. It's really simple, but basically it's covered your whole body. And he says, if you'll read with me, It says, stand firm with a belt of truth buckled under your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we have this enemy who likes to attack us, who likes to attack our marriages, our relationships, and our families, who works so strong at getting at our personal places, of those places of hurt. But do you want to know another way that he works? Is through discouragement. How many of you have gone through seasons of discouragement? Yeah. Sometimes we don't like to talk about it. But can I say that it's one of the most disarming ways that the enemy gets to us, by discouraging us first? By feeling disappointed at things, by feeling like the people around us or our faith community isn't supporting us, by maybe looking at what faith could be, what it is and what it should be and what it's not. But I want to implore you with all my heart is that you'd fix your eyes on Christ, that you would just spend some time with him, reflecting on his cross and his goodness, on his faithfulness, that you look back at the things that God has done and how he's answered prayers, that you look around you at the people that are there to encourage you, and that you'd lean in. It's a difficult time for people. I've heard so many people say, I'm deconstructing my faith. Have you heard of that? It's very common right now. Want to tell you that one of the ways that our enemy is working is by deconstructing faith. I do believe that we should all take a look at what we believe and why we believe it. Spend some good, solid time in the Word. But I also believe that in the process of doing that, he'll continue to reveal his character and who he is. I would warn against going to a place where no one else is walking beside you to help encourage you, because we need each other. Similar to what it's like in an army, a soldier doesn't go and fight alone. You and I cannot fight alone. We need a group of people around us, and that's what community and church friends and church family does for us. So I want to encourage you to continue to dig in and lean in. So we have the belt of truth. So what do we know about Satan? Is that he's the deceiver, that he's a liar, that he's a snake. And what are some of the biggest lies that he tells you about yourself? What are the biggest lies that he tells you? Some of the lies that he says is we're not good enough. Some of the lies that he says is that he tells us that, you know, when we feel our guilt or shame, that we've gone too far. Well, I want to remind you that because he is a liar and because what's at stake is your heart, you need to not listen to those lies and instead listen to what the Bible has to say about you. That you've been bought by the price of Jesus' blood, that you've been redeemed, and that you are highly favored, that God loves you and cares for you, and that he has paid the price on the cross, and that the only person that can tell you that you don't belong is him. And with his arms wide open, he has said, you're mine and you belong. So put on the belt of truth that fights against the lies of the enemy. There's a whole lot of armor to go through, and I'm not going to go through it all. But what I do want to say is this. We, you and me, have the opportunity to live authentic lives. We have an opportunity to live what Christ has called us out to live. And to reconcile that, we must remember who we are in his eyes. We must remember the price that he has paid. We must remember when Satan's fiery darts are coming, that we have a shield to protect us. And I want to encourage you to say, though no matter how hard the enemy comes at you and your family and you personally, you are not alone. You are not alone. in your struggle, in your battle, in this fight that exists for your heart, for what you're waiting for. You're waiting Christ to return, but in the meantime, you're in this place where stuff is happening, where you keep messing up and you keep getting up and you keep trying. Remember, remember, remember that Christ has already won the war. He's already won the war. So when you feel discouraged, you need only to remember what he's already done. He's already won the war. You know, the thing that Satan does with us by lying to us and making us believe these lies, you know, he's out to extinguish any sign of God in us. Any kind, God's goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness that I claim by faith. Okay, I'm not perfect. I claim his righteousness by faith. We're not talking about works here. But what he wants to do is to stomp out the image of God in you. He wants that when people look at you, when you see yourself in the mirror, that the last thing that you see is Christ. What he wants is for you to see guilt, shame, for you to see disgust, for you to pull away. And if I'm brutally honest with you, a lot of times we believe that. We believe that because we fail to see and reconcile what he's done, what he's doing right now for us, interceding on our behalf, and the victory that he's promised to give us. But you and I have to do our part. We have to spend time in the Word. We have to accept his righteousness and say, not anything that I've done, but Christ living in me. His sacrifice, his perfect life, his victory on the cross and the resurrection. I claim that for me. And then what happens is that you get to take off all the uglies and you get to put on his robe of righteousness. And you stand in front of the mirror, like in the words of the rapper from 2000, like eight. So fresh and so clean, clean. Some of you may know the reference. But when you look at yourself, you see, I'm so fresh and I'm so clean, clean because of what Christ has done. So, salvation, the helmet of salvation, reminds me that I'm already saved by what he's done and when I've accepted Christ into my heart. When I put on that belt of truth, it reminds me that everything God says in his word is truthful. I could trust it. I could take it to the bank. It's truth. His love is truth. He's already paid the price. He will see me through. His Bible is truth. When I put on that breastplate, you know, that super thick so nothing can penetrate, I'm saying I'm protected, and his righteousness does that for me. When I put on those shoes, which is the gospel, the good news, I'm running quickly to tell and share others and help each other up. You know, I've got your back, you've got my back. Let's pray for each other and encourage each other. And I'm not being idle with my time and my energy, but I'm actually laboring for Christ, doing something for him. So this whole passage in Ephesians is really Paul telling us, wake up, my brothers. Wake up, my sisters. Know who you're wrestling against. Know the lies and the schemes of the devil. And put on that armor and get ready to stand firm and fight. So as you think about going home and what life is going to be like when we no longer have this amazing worship, when we're back to the regular routine of life, when we're not meeting up with our friends and going off to seminars and worshiping and hearing the word, when it's now only up to us You must remember what Ellen White says. And I want to read this short passage to you because I think it's going to be inspirational and hopefully give you some encouragement. I'll invite the band to come up while I read this passage. I forgot my readers, so I'm going to do my best, okay? It says, if the curtain could be rolled back and each one could discern the constant activities of the heavenly family to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from Satan's seductive wiles, lest in their careless attitude they should be led astray through satanic strategy, they would lose a large degree of their self-confidence and self-assurance. They would see that the armies of heaven are in continual warfare with satanic agencies to obtain victories in behalf of those who do not sense their danger and are passing on in unconscious indifference. So it's saying, hey, if you could see what's happening, you would see that right now, while you're indifferent to the war, to the battle that's raging for your heart, for your mind, for the hearts of your children, the war on media, okay, the war of everything that's coming into your mind, if you are unaware, God is fighting a battle on your behalf, and you don't even see it. Today, I am just saying, wake up and grab your armor and suit up. Put it on. Grab your weapons. Study the Word of God. Spend time in worship. Spend time alone talking with God. Feed your mind scripture. Spend some time meditating on God's goodness, on his sacrifice in the cross, on what he's already done and what he promises to do. Call a friend and pray with them. Say yes to a small group and show up. Maybe cancel one of your subscriptions. Whoa, too close. Maybe say, you know what? This isn't serving me or my family, so we're not going to watch that. Because when I watch it, I don't feel good. I don't feel good when I do certain things. And I'm going to choose to listen to that still small voice that is saying, this is the way. Leave that and take this instead. Hey, God doesn't want any of us to perish. Not your sons, not your daughters, not you. And like I said before, your pastor can't do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. And so if this is something new that you hadn't thought about and it sounds scary to you, I want you to know that Christ has already won. He's already won that battle. So you don't have to be afraid of it, but you have to be aware. The bandage has to come off, and we have to look at things in our life with this lens. Satan is out for my family, he's out for my marriage, and he's out for me. He's out for the influence that Christ living in me has in the world. He's trying to stomp out the image of God in me. He's trying to beat me down with his lies so that I won't get up and keep fighting and testifying. He's trying to put me down so that I won't try again. He's trying to tell me that I can't do it. But in the name of Christ today, I want to tell you that everything is possible with God. Everything is possible. Broken marriages, low self-esteem, you know, problems that you may have at home with your parents, relationships can be restored. Purpose and meaning could be developed and given into you and sown into you by the people and community that were put in there to love on you. Listen, distraction is key. Distraction. So distracted, chasing things that have no value when we get to heaven. So fix your eyes on him. Remember what's coming and what stage we're in. And be aware, be alert. Be present. Don't hand over your heart and mind so easily. Don't go with the flow because everyone's doing it. Gets a lot of people into trouble, hey. But most importantly, trust that God has your back. That he sees the genuineness in your heart and that he's ready, that angels are ready. They're already doing it for you. The fact that you're here, okay? They're already working on your and my behalf. Sometimes I think that my angels got a really, really big threshold for patience. And some of you might be rivaling with my angel. But if we could, for a moment, just close our eyes and ask God, allow me to see what you see, that I'm not alone in my dark moments, in those moments of despair, that you are there and you're with me. If you ask God, he will show you. And I promise you, you're not alone. You're not fighting alone. You are not alone. God is with you. So let's worship, let's sing, and then we'll end with a word of prayer.